We need a hero to save us, and the man has arrived, Matty Whitley from the Herald Sun. Hello, Matty.
Hello, Half. How are you?
I'm going very well. Very well, indeed. What's doing?
I'm surprised at Carlos, Thailand, Grand Final week. Timing. So, I mean, I know the FFA stuffed up the dates.
Well, but this is the part of the problem.
So maybe that's the real story.
That's the real story.
Not the wrangle between FFA and Etihad and Amy.
No, Barton. The real story is FFA and Carlos's missus.
Yes.
Mrs. Carlos.
Planned based on
Conchita.
Fixture Mark 1.
Let's call her Conchita.
Righto.
Conchita had a holiday planned and Carlos is thinking, I'm okay, the date's set. We're all,
May 10,
all good
we're
here.
Away.
May 10.
Yep.
Sorry, Carlos. It's over. So he's off, but he sends his apologies. He's bordering on shattered, to be honest with you.
I bet.
He's worked the whole year with us on the Wednesday.
And he's pulled a hammy in the last minute of the semi.
And he's missing the grand final because Conchita wanted some sun.
Oh, well.
It's great to have you. Great to have you. And I believe there's a bit of an occasion going on in your world today. Is that right?
Happy birthday to you.
Hey! Not only.
Legit birthday, not David Schwartz's.
Not David Schwartz 24/7. Okay, happy birthday, mate.
Thank you, mate.
It's nice of you to share some time with us on your birthday.
When I heard that I could spend my birthday with you, I jumped up and down and I've been waiting out the front for the last 18 hours. So
This is your present from us, just to be a part of the program, the award winning halftime.
Fantastic.
Yet to win the award, but I'm sure we will at some stage.
We'll get there.
Down the track. Hey, very exciting week.
I'm excited. Yeah, this is the most excited I've been for a game in a long time. Obviously, it stands to reason because it's a grand final. But the interesting thing for me is you get that impression from the players too. And again, of course, you're excited for a grand final, but normally there's a little bit of nerves and anticipation sort of entered into it as well. But the fact that it's Melbourne versus Sydney, the players are really, really excited about that because these are two teams that are just so dynamite in attack. We could see one of the all-time great grand finals, not just in A-League history, but in Australian sport, because not normally, but they can be dour lockdown affairs in any sport because people are too scared to make the mistake that might, ruin the game. But I reckon when you've got coaches like Kevin Muscat and Graham Arnold, they're just going to come armed with bazookas to a knife fight, I reckon. I reckon it could be, if it ends up being like 5-4 or something like that wouldn't surprise me, and I think that would just be absolutely fantastic to watch.
I am in full agreement with you there. I think it's going to be one of the great finals, and I've been just hoping that this would be the result. Because I've been watching Sydney, particularly the back half of this season, and seeing some of the numbers they're putting up, both ridiculous. Offensively, but also their opponents defensively, making a really enticing, enthralling encounter. And obviously Melbourne Victory being, the best team throughout the whole season, throughout the length of it. And to get those two on that one stage, and I think you're right, there won't be as much tension to take the game on between those two teams, and it could mean anything for the game's quality.
You know how many, Sydney played 14 games since the Asian Cup break. They've scored 41 goals. That's just ridiculous.
That's a lot of goals.
Victory, I think, 28-ish in that same time.
Right.
Sydney are by far and away the best team statistically since the Asian Cup break, and Victory second. So we've got the two informed teams. And then, as you say, Victory best all season. So you've definitely got the best two teams in it going up against each other. And they've had three draws this year.
Three draws.
So there's no way to tell anything between them in terms of how it's going to go. And the last two have been 3-3 draws. So.
Well, that's the beauty of it. That's where I think we start to get excited as viewers and as watchers of this contest. The fact that it's not just a nil-all draw they're playing. They're playing 3-3 draws.
Yeah.
So we've got some serious energy up and down the park all night long.
So we're writing about this tomorrow, but the Fab Fours up front. Victory's probably got, I reckon, and I said it right from the start, but Victory's got the best attack, I reckon, that's ever been compiled in the A-League. When you can afford to leave a guy like Archie Thompson, who I'm sure you'll ask me about later on.
I'm going to ask you about Archie though.
Just randomly. 89 goals in the A-League, leading all-time scorer, plus 11 this year. You've got him on the bench, which is just ridiculous, because you've got Bessart Berisha, who's probably the most talented striker almost to come to the A-League, and then you've got Costa Barbarousis, who's on absolute absolutely on fire. Finished fifth in the Johnny Warren Medal the other night. Fahid Van Kalfel has probably been Melbourne Victory's best player this year. And Guy Finkler, I still reckon he's underrated. He is just amazing. Not just his goal-scoring prowess, but also just the assists and the balls that he plays. And he's obviously a dead ball specialist as well, the Brazilian. So it's lethal. But then on the other hand, you've got Mark Janko, who won the Golden Boot for Sydney FC, the current Austrian captain. He's probably going to go to Euro 2016, leading his nation there. And yet he's down here leading the strike force for Sydney.
He just signed another deal, didn't he?
He's out of contract.
He's out.
And he says he's made up his mind, but out of respect to his teammates, he's not going to say whether that is to stay or go.
Out of respect to your teammates, it means I'm going, doesn't it?
I would have thought so.
If you respect your teammates and you're going to stay, you say, hey guys, how good's this?
Yeah.
I'm hanging around.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
So it's interesting. I
thought he'd signed a deal.
No. So, and then Alex Brosk is playing really well, scored 6 goals in the last 4 games. The Sydney FC skipper, Bernie Abini, is one of the great talents of Australian soccer. Chris Naumoff is a youngster who probably guys down here probably don't know that much about, but is a star on the rise as well and played really well against Adelaide the other night. And then they've got the same problem as Victory in the sense that they've got Shane Smeltz, who's second on the all-time goal scoring list, as Dave Davidovich wrote in the paper today in the Herald Sun. He's also starting on the bench as well. And like Archie, he's out of contract and Wayne up offers both at home and abroad as well. So, yep. Very, very interesting, and it makes for great watching. I listened, though, too. I know I'm rambling, but...
No, keep going. It's your birthday. Do what you like.
Michael Zapponi, talking in World of Football on SEN last night, was saying that he reckons the big difference is Mathieu Delpierre, and I agree. He's an absolute beast. He didn't play in any of the 3 draws, though, that Melbourne and Sydney have played this year.
Is that right?
And he definitely strengthens that Victory's defence. I wrote about him earlier in the week. There's a stat. I think Victory's only lost 1 of the 14 games in which he started.
Correct. We spoke about that on Monday.
There you go.
Chat to you.
That's right.
We did.
Yeah.
That's a good stat. It was a great stat. And he is well loved by the faithful, too, just quietly, Mathieu Delpierre from the Victory faithful.
Yeah. Massive presence both on the field and also just with his leadership, but then he's also very comfortable with the ball at his feet. This is a guy who's played for Stuttgart in the German Bundesliga, won a Bundesliga title, captained that club, so that's no mean feat. And then you're playing Champions League games against the likes of Messi, Ibrahimovic, Yaya Toure. With the greatest of respect to Broski and Janko, I don't think when he's had to line up on Messi, I don't think they'll hold any fears for him. So he could be the X factor in that sort of sense.
Let's talk about, Matt, if you don't mind, there's been a lot of positive talk, as there should be, towards the grand final and the build-up to it. But the scenario where it ends up being played at Amy Park in front of 30,000 as opposed to Etihad 55, perhaps MCG 80, who knows, in the A-League. Can we just clarify, because there's SMSs coming through saying, what do you think about game being played at Amy Park? Should the Bulldogs have moved from Etihad? Can we just clarify the situation with the date? You alluded to that before.
Yep.
When did the FFA change the date of the grand final?
So, I don't know. I can't remember specifically. I've written about it quite a few times since October last year, so I'm getting... It's sort of been one of those ones where you're almost sick of talking about it, but obviously it's a massive issue now, clearly. FFA released their fixer just before the World Cup last year.
Yep.
In that release date, the grand final was May 10, right?
Right.
AFL said that they were endeavouring to keep that date free for Etihad Stadium, all that sort of stuff. Although we might kindly note that Carlton versus Brisbane Lions was at Etihad Stadium last Sunday.
That's correct.
So I don't know what happened there. But then a couple of months later, FFA changed the fixture. I think it might have been August, if not late July,
why
early
did they
August.
Do that?
So the Asian Champions League had something to do with it, pushing back, because we remember a couple of weeks ago, in the first week of the finals, you had Brisbane Roar and Western Sydney playing Champions League games. And if they were also in the finals, you could have had the unfortunate situation where they may have had to play an A-League elimination final on the Sunday, fly to Japan, China, Korea, whatever, on the Wednesday, and then have to come back and play a semi-final on the Friday or Saturday. And that's just not fair. So they pushed it back a week to make sure that that wouldn't have happened.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's important information because I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so it was all to do with the Asian Champions League. And as part of that release that the media got and all that sort of stuff and on their websites and whatever, there was a quote that said, "We thank all our key stakeholders, including venues and all that sort of stuff, for their cooperation in making these dates available to us, all that sort of stuff, changing our bookings, yada, yada, yada." Then it gets murky. The AFL say they didn't get the memo.
The old didn't get the memo gag.
Yeah. FFA, I honestly, and maybe the FFA didn't communicate it properly to the AFL. then it's up to everyone else out there to decide, well, should the FFA have to specifically communicate this to the AFL, because they don't have to book venues through the AFL. They just have to book it through Etihad or whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously the thing is here, and I'm surprised Etihad hasn't copped a lot of heat for it. It's everyone's been bagging the state government and the AFL and all that sort of stuff. The AFL's not to blame here. Why should you give a rival code a free kick? And most definitely the Western Bulldogs aren't to blame for this, because they were fixtured to play a game out of their control, and why would they give up home ground advantage when, you know, they're going all right at the moment? You don't want to give away any sort of semblance of an advantage that you might have this weekend.
Absolutely.
So park that to one side. I think the AFL have first and last rights in terms of booking venues, such as Etihad, obviously, because they play like 45-odd games there a year, yada, yada, yada. So Etihad's bowed to their request to make sure that they had the date. Look, I have no doubt. The AFL say they didn't know the date. I have no doubt that they knew exactly what they were doing. Of course. There are five rounds this year where there are five games in Melbourne, and two of those, as in, so three games at the MCG or Etihad and two at the other.
Yep.
And two of those rounds just happened to clash with A-League semi-final weekend and A-League grand final weekend, which is exactly the same as what happened last year. So we know what's happening. But again, I don't blame the AFL for that, because why would you give a rival code, who are blatantly chest beating at the moment, saying we want to be the biggest code in Australia in the next 20 years, you're not going to give them a free kick. It's not good business.
Do you, in fact, I'll talk to you more about this after the break. We need to get to that. 21 past one. If you want to have your say on that, by the way, Maddie's with us from the Herald Sun. It's his birthday, so it'd be nice. If you want to drop into prison, you can do that. 473 Swan Street in Richmond. I want to ask you about the quality of football at either venue, at Amy Park or versus Etihad Stadium. Mm. And because it's a very important game, clearly the showpiece of the grand final of the season, whether or not it is actually in fact better being in Amy Park due to the surface of Amy Park and the configuration of the seating from a fan's point of view. Talk about that after this with Matty. 25 past one on halftime. Matty Windley from the Herald Sun has joined us to discuss the build-up to the Hyundai A-League Grand Final. Amy Park, 4 p.m. Sunday, the Melbourne Victory take on the Sydney FC. It's going to be a blockbuster, I reckon. We'll talk more about great grand final moments, great moments in soccer grand finals soon. But before the break, I teased a discussion point with Matty about the experience of watching the A-League, particularly big games, at Etihad Stadium as opposed to the environment of Amy Park. Do you have a leaning towards one venue over the other for watching games of A-League football?
This is not the popular view amongst Victory fans, but I'm a fan of Etihad. So long as the seats are in.
Right.
So I haven't experienced any more electric atmospheres than almost the first two games of the season. Even though it was only 30-odd thousand for the game against Western Sydney, the season opener, that was fantastic.
Yep.
And then the derby a couple of weeks later, 5-2, that Victory won against City when there was 45,000 in there, which is a sellout when you've got the seats in because it reduces capacity.
Yep.
That was just unbelievable. And you know, you had, you know, SEN Zone Ron Connolly there that night writing in The Age about how, you know, footy can't compare with that sort of stuff because it was just incredible. And I agree, like, that was just a fantastic night. So provided that the seats are in and it's sold out for a big game, I prefer Etihad. I know some Victory fans are coming around to that view, especially because you can fit more in, but there's no doubt that the other night, even though it was a fantastic night atmosphere wise and all that sort of stuff, with 50,000 in there for Melbourne Victory versus Melbourne City, the atmosphere definitely lacked a little bit because the seats weren't in and you're too far away. Mm. People down the bottom struggle to see. It does make it hard. So, yeah, as long as the seats are in, I prefer Etihad. But there's no doubt that 30,000 people packed into Amy Park on Sunday, especially with 3,500 Sydney fans travelling down, is going to be one of the most electric atmospheres that you'll ever experience.
I love Amy Park. I've been there for the seats in at Etihad. I've been there when seats are out at Etihad with big crowds. I just love watching the game at Amy Park. I think it's just the best venue for the A-League. Clearly, it's got to a point, and maybe this is one, whilst it's a short-term issue for the game and for supporters in the grand final week, mate, it's a good problem for the FFA to have where we're now outgrowing that stadium.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, and who would have thought that last week we'd be talking about a soccer game, one, knocking off a Collingwood game off the front and back pages of the Herald Sun, but two, going within 1,000 people of beating it in terms of attendance at the same time up against each other. Who would have thought we'd be talking about that 5 years ago? This, though, is a real problem for Melbourne Victory at the moment, and I know that, you know, behind the scenes they're really scratching their head about this. They've almost outgrown Amy Park. They can't get a crowd this year.
They've got 22,000 members.
And they can't get a crowd above that at Amy Park because if you, like, there's just, when you factor in those 22,000 fully, and they're fully ticketed, season ticket holder members,
yep.
there's barely any seats for general admission, and if some of those members don't turn up, which invariably happens every week for whatever reason, you can't get a crowd ever above like 22,000-23,000. So they've almost got to the point where they're just too big for Amy Park. And people say, oh, you know, it should have been built bigger. Well, it couldn't have been built bigger. It wasn't allowed to be. The government, there was it an arrangement with Etihad Stadium, wasn't it, at the time? I think that there wasn't allowed to be.
Yeah, you can't have anything more than 30,000 or whatever it was.
And anyone that's been to Amy Park knows that that will be ridiculously hard to rebuild with not only the structure of the roof, but the fact that the southern end of the ground backs onto the freeway. There's not a hell of a lot of space to go.
Yep.
So it's going to be really hard to redevelop that. So, and even still, I wouldn't like Amy Park to be any more than 30,000, because while it might be too big for Melbourne Victory, it might be too small for Melbourne Victory, it's perfect size for the Rebels, for the Melbourne Storm, for Melbourne City. You don't want any more than 30,000 seats in there, because it ruins that sort of intimate atmosphere that those teams get when they're only getting, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 to 15,000. So it's a real problem for Victory at the moment, whether or not they have to start playing even more games at Etihad Stadium or whatever, or maybe they have to move exclusively at Etihad Stadium. But then that's another topic of debate again in the next 10 years when the AFL takes over the ground.
Well,
because they've got a sweetheart deal that Etihad at the moment.
Yes.
I know they don't even have to pay to have the seats moved in, I don't think.
Oh, is that right?
They used to have to. Okay. I think it costs in around about 30,000. But you can't imagine AFL as owners would be giving Melbourne Victory nice rent in a few years' time. The AFL won't deny Victory playing there because they need content.
Good revenue,
yeah, exactly. They need the content, but the deal surely won't be as good as what it is now, I wouldn't have thought.
Clayton Elwood says off the SMS, it's way better as a fan to go to Amy Park for football, no contest. And this from Anonymous, Amy Park will be like a golf green. It will be perfect surface to showcase the talent of the players.
So, I hope so. There's a rugby league game there on Saturday night, but that's not, apparently that's the rugby union that really chops it up. As
yes.
opposed to the league.
Yeah, it'd be different to the union boys because they dig in with the cleats and they go deep in the malls and the rucks and that
Indeed.
Type of stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah, that's not too bad a result. And a big game too for the Storm, by the way, just digressing a touch.
That's also impacting on Sydney FC when they come down and all that sort of stuff, because obviously they would have liked to train on Amy Park, but clearly they can't because the Storm's playing on Saturday night. So I think they've said stuff.
Put them out on the goshes, mate.
No, they're gonna train in Sydney on Saturday morning and then they're going to come down on Saturday afternoon.
It's all right for the Victory to train on goshes. Why can't Sydney FC train on goshes?
It's just Arnie being silly.
Bit of more feedback off the SMS. Been on ticket site all day and no go, boys. Saying there is some left but can't get one. Very sad Victory man in Cheltenham. Jared in Cheltenham. Well, whilst that's bad news for Jared, we will get a sellout and that's going to be great.
Yeah.
And how many did you say Sydney FC fans? 3.5.
The allocation was 3.5. Yeah.
Perfect. Just enough. But not too many. Mm. We don't want them here.
No, exactly.
We don't want them here.
Victory earned the home ground advantage.
We've earned the right, and we get a chance to milk it as much as we can.
Speaking of Arnie, though, did you see that he said that they don't mind playing this at Amy Park? They like it because it would be just like if they had to play their home final at Pertec Stadium out at Western Sydney. They say that Victory are being disadvantaged because they have to play their grand final at Melbourne City's home ground.
Oh, he's cute, isn't he?
He's great.
He's cute, Arnie.
It's
going to
be fantastic.
Is he still running the old, there's no pressure on us line? Were you running with that one yet?
No, not running with that one, but he's more putting pressure on his team in the sense that he's saying that they're the best team in the competition, and if it wasn't for the injuries, they would have won. They would have finished on top of the ladder by about 10 points because they suffered about 4 season-ending injuries in about 4 weeks, about midway through the season, just before the Asian Cup. So he reckons if it wasn't for that, they were by far and away the best team in the competition.
Give us a spell, Arnie. Give us a spell. Just off topic a bit, the Johnny Warren medal, you mentioned that before. Nathan Burns walking away with his medal the other night. Was that the right result?
Nathan Burns had a fantastic season.
He did. Had a terrific season.
He wasn't the best in the A-League, though.
Oh.
The voting system needs rejigging. It really does. So for anyone that doesn't know, the voting system in the Johnny Warren medal is that every player votes at the end of round 9, at the end of round 18, and at the end of round 27.
So every player votes a third of the way, 3 times through the season?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, a lot of players won't care, and they'll just copy their mate.
This is...
Or they'll talk together, or...
This is not the AFL footy record interviews at the start of the year where you've got to go through your favourite teammates, favourite food, that sort of stuff, where you get them to fill out yours.
Or if you go on a hot... If you happen to be hot round 8, round 9, you're in.
You're front of mind.
If you're around 17, 18, you're in. Now, you look at someone like Fahid Ben Kalfala, who nobody knew at the start of the season. There was no buzz about him. He was just this second division French player.
Yep.
And he started on the bench for the first 3 or 4 weeks, I think, before Muskie sort of thought, wow,
genius.
This guy's
just freshening
awesome.
Him up. Yeah. Just freshening him up for the late season assault.
But then no one knew who he was, so no one voted for him in that first 9 weeks, basically. I think he only got like 60 or 50 votes or something like that out of however many players there are and how many ever votes they get. Whereas Nathan Burns was already away. He got 300 odd votes in that first passage. And then gradually Ben Kalfula grew into it. So he finished third. Can't believe that. Again, Marcello Karuska from Adelaide had a fantastic year. He finished second, but then he missed the last 6 weeks of the season. So it got me stuffed as to how he can come second as well. So look, Nathan Burns, fantastic.
Had a great year.
Stan Lazaridis tipped him in the
Herald
Sun.
He did. I saw that. He's the only one.
Yeah, but everyone else tipped Ben Kalfula, and I would suggest that they need to find a way to change the voting. Ben Kalfula won the News Corp Player of the Year award that we vote 3-2-1 after every game.
Yep.
From the writers all around Australia. And Aaron Moy won the Alex Tobin Award, which is the Fox Sports equivalent. So, and Aaron Moy also too, congratulations to him. He won Melbourne City's Best and Fairest last night. So good by him. But disappointing end to the season for him, considering he had to have surgery on his knee after injuring it.
Was it surgery, was it?
Just an arthroscope.
Oh, that's right.
So it'd be okay. But I think I understand that he was going to go and train at either at New York City FC or Yokohama FC. Oh, Yokohama F Marinos, sorry. So the, you know, the Manchester City sort of family.
Have they got a Yokohama arm as well, have they?
Yeah, 20%. It's not a full
right
takeover, but yeah, they're
because it doesn't have City on the end of it.
Correct.
Right.
They're part of the family. But I think that would have, I think that was probably just to keep him fit ahead of the Socceroos World Cup qualifier in Kyrgyzstan next month, but yeah, obviously he's not going to be playing in that now, which is unfortunate.
But he had a great year, did Aaron Moy, as did your man Nathan Burns, but you think Fade Ben Kalfula should have been the Johnny Warren medalist. New system required, 26-2. After the break, it was your great moments in the soccer grand finals. There's plenty through the A-League's history, and we'll go through a few of them as well, but there's a couple of other topics I need to throw at our man Matty Windley from the Herald Sun. Archie Thompson is certainly front of mind after listening to Ernie Merrick this morning on The Morning Glory. And, of course, there's the analysis of the game on Sunday afternoon at Amy Park and where it's going to be run and won. We'll talk about that with Matty Windley after this. 19-2 on a Wednesday afternoon. Matty Windley, the birthday boy from the Herald Sun, is with us as we build up to the Hyundai A-League Grand Final. Sunday, Amy Park, 4 p.m. and Melbourne Victory v Sydney FC. Sunday, 4 p.m. What's the go there? Why are we locking that in? Fox Sports, I understand, were very keen to make that the only time this game was played.
They're trying to create a tradition a la, you know, FA Cup and AFL Grand Final last Saturday of September. I think I read this week that they want to try and get it to the first Sunday of May. That's where they want to have it all the time.
Right.
So some sort of tradition.
So without the Asian Cup, that can happen.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. And then also, too, you've got to think about international broadcasters with this sport, obviously. I mean, they say 350 million watch it around the world. I don't think that is the case, but that's the reach or whatever it is. But without doubt, being the world game, there are people in the Americas and Europe and all that sort of stuff that will tune in. And if you had the game, for example, on a Friday night, you aren't going to get people watching late Thursday night or early Friday morning, are you? So whereas this has now been back into Europe and the Americas on, you know, late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, and it's much more appetizing for them. So.
Don't forget Asia, mate. Don't forget Asia.
Of course. Yes.
Which our is good friends, one. Because we are Asian.
We are.
After the Asian Cup we worked out, we were fully Asian.
And we are the best in Asia.
It's great to be Asian.
In Asia.
That's what
don't
I did learn this year, though. I am Asian. I wasn't aware of that. So I'm pleased to be Asian.
Yes.
And good luck to us. We're awesome in Asia. Hey, just on the AFL Grand Final, you mentioned that before. That's played always at the MCG. Will it get to a point where the A-League will have their own venue, the one lockdown venue every week, every Sunday in May, the first one?
No.
Forever? No?
I don't think so. Maybe 50 years down the track. But, I mean, how many people out there, if Sydney FC were playing against Adelaide United at Amy Park on Sunday this week, would go to the game? They wouldn't sell out. The game's not ready for it. The game's not popular enough down here to be able to say, we're going to play the game in Sydney every year, or we're going to play the game in Melbourne every year, and whatever. Will it get to the point maybe somewhere down the track where FFA tries to get governments to bid for the game, and you know in advance that it might be in Adelaide Super Bowl style? Maybe. Who knows? But I don't mind it as it stands that the team that finished top throughout the season gets home ground advantage. That's fine by me.
Okay. I'm okay with that. What about Archie Thompson and his the state of play with Archie this week? There's a couple of articles about that in the last couple of days, and everyone's having their say on his contract situation, including the man himself.
I spoke to Muskie 4 months ago, and I said, where does my future lie? And he said, you know, it's a month-by-month, week-by-week thing. I want to win something with this club because, you know, potentially it could be my last game.
That was Archie talking about his contract. He seems a little bit jacked. Now, just before we get to your take on this is Ernie Merrick.
Oh, hang on. Can I just say?
You got your hand up.
Yeah, I do. Was there a little bit of a Freudian slip midway through the press conference yesterday where he said, after I had that conversation with Ernie, after I had that conversation with Kevin, I've been playing like every game's my last game of Victory.
Is that right?
Now let's play the audio.
Now let's hear from Ernie Merrick.
There's no doubt that even though he's going to turn 37 by the start of next season, I think Archie is capable of being a regular starting 11 player in just about any team, and there'll be several teams interested. And we'll have a look at our budget, and we would probably be interested as well. But as I say, I can't see that actually happening. I think and hope he stays with Victory, but we would be one of the ones in line to talk to him.
Well, that was on the Morning Glory this morning. Ernie Merrick, coach of Wellington Phoenix, of course, who spent a fair bit of time coaching Archie in his days at the Melbourne Victory.
Ernie loves Archie.
A lot of love.
Yeah. But he's a good man, Ernie, and I reckon he's totally sincere about that. I think he would be hoping that Archie does stay at Melbourne Victory.
Do you think Archie's be jacked that everyone else is signing all these deals and he's on the stockpile still to be done?
Do you know that Archie Thompson scored 11 goals this year? That's the most that he's scored since 2009-10, when he scored 11, and only once he has ever scored more than that in a season. He scored 15 in the year that they romped to the title in season 2.
2007.
And he scored 15 goals in that year, but clearly five of those were also in the grand final. This has been one of Archie's best statistical years in terms of goal scoring.
So five of those were in the grand final. So that up until this point, he scored 10. So he scored more.
Shorter season, though, too, in that there was only 8 teams. Yes. But, yeah, but it's comparative, isn't it? So... yeah, it's interesting. And yet his pay keeps going down because obviously he was Australian Marquee and then he took a haircut when Millsy became Australian Marquee and now he has to take another haircut because obviously they've pretty much re-signed everyone. As you say, you've got your Ben Kalfaller who's signed under the cap. You've got Matthew Delpierre who's signed again under the cap. They've still got he and also Daniel Georgievski are the two sort of big fish to fry, and there's a few others. Also, both goalkeepers are out of contract as well, Nathan Coe and Lawrence Thomas. So there's going to be some interesting movements there over the next couple of weeks.
Are you surprised at this contract situation with Archie? And you were talking Yanko before saying, I respect my teammates, I'll just focus on the footy this week. Mm. Are you surprised that this has gathered so much momentum? There's been so much discussion from Archie himself and from the people around the situation?
The club's in between a rock and a hard place with this one because Archie Thompson is grand final week. You know, we'll hear a magic moment later on. But yeah. Archie Thompson is grand final week. He scored 5 goals in the grand final in season 2. You know, he was part of the second grand final that they won as well. Like he transcends the sport in terms of everyone around Melbourne everyone knows who Archie Thompson is. He's always on the Morning Glory. Sport fans just relate to him. He's such an infectious personality, all that sort of stuff.
So
you can't not have a grand final week where you don't put Archie Thompson up for a press conference. But obviously the key issue at the moment is he's out of contract. Will he retire? Will he go on elsewhere? I think he's made it clear yesterday he's not going to retire.
Not going to retire.
So it's Victory or elsewhere.
And if you're the Melbourne Victory, what are you thinking, do you reckon? If you're in Anthony DiPietro's chair at the moment, what are you thinking?
I would think that I reckon they'll offer him another deal, but it will be, again, reduced on what it was last year.
Yep.
Because, I think from their perspective too, I mean, they've got a fantastic attack, which we've spoken about. You've also got the likes of Connor Payne, who are waiting in the wings, re-signed, everything like that, who's going to be a gun, and he can clearly come up and be the pinch hitter off the bench as well next year or take over if someone gets injured. So they've got backup there. But also, too, I reckon it'll be a little bit of egg on the face of Victory if Archie Thompson was running around for another A-League club next year, considering how much the fans just absolutely love Archie. So, you know, they would cop a bit of backlash if Archie were to go to another A-League club. So it's just going to be it's going to be an awkward situation either way over the next couple of weeks. It's unfortunate that it's sort of hijacked the early part of the week a little bit.
Yep.
But we love Archie and being part of the media. We love athletes, coaches speaking their mind. So, I'm not about to say that Archie shouldn't have done what he should have done. I'm sure the club probably wouldn't have liked him being as honest as what he was yesterday, but you know, we love it. It's great fodder, and at least it's out there. We know that there's no bull dust. It's out on the table, and you know, we'll move on in the next couple of days.
It's just another layer of intrigue in the build-up to the grand final on Sunday, 12-2. Matty Windley, the birthday boy from the Herald Sun, is with us talking about the A-League grand final. We'll come back and continue that after this.
Onside, all shopping, perfect position.
Thompson.
Thompson will go down in the record books as the most prolific goal scorer in a game of football in the history of domestic football in this country. 5 goals to Archie, 5 to Melbourne. You are a superstar.
And it goes. 2-2! Unbelievable! Eric Partaloo, and they pulled it out of the fire right at the death.
Oh, drama for different reasons there. Archie Thompson's fifth against Adelaide. No seven, version two of the A-League. Rock solid work from Archie. A long time ago now. And then Eric Partaloo versus Central Coast, scoring one of his most important goals in the history of his career. Matty Winley from the Herald Sun joining us.
We've had nine A-League grand finals. This is the 10th. But I reckon, you listen to those two, they're two moments that will live long in Australian sport history. Archie Thompson scoring five goals. I don't think that'll ever happen again in A-League grand final.
I'd be surprised if that happened again.
So that was just incredible. And then the whole circumstance around that game, Brisbane versus Central Coast, where Central Coast, it was nil all after 90 minutes. Central Coast scored two goals in extra time. And then Brisbane scored two goals in the last 2 minutes of extra time, including with the last header of the game to get it into penalties and then win the game in penalties. That was just the most unbelievable half an hour of sport you'll ever see as well. So
it was great. It was unbelievable. Do you think we'll get to extra time and penalties on Sunday?
No. No, too many goals.
It'll be one in 90.
I don't necessarily think it'll be one in 90, but I just there'll be too many goals that it'll just end at a... at an uneven amount, which will be enough to give it to either Sydney or Melbourne. Interestingly, so myself...
It will end in 90.
Or 120.
Well, you said it won't get the extra time.
No, well, it could be like two all after 90, and it could be like, you know, seven, six after extra time.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right.
Myself and Dave Davidovich went 3-2 after extra time in the paper on Monday. Unbeknownst to us, our Sydney colleagues, Tom Smithies and Carly Adno, went 3-2 Sydney after extra time in the Daily Tally on Monday.
So you can't split them.
You can't split them.
Often in these occasions, in fact, we'll get to Con in Doncaster East, who's giving us a call, 9429 1116. G'day, Con.
Good afternoon, gents. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thanks, Con. How you going?
Very well, thank you.
That's good.
Just to add a little bit more to the Archie Thompson debate that hasn't been in the paper, the board's going to have to account to my 12-year-old daughter if Archie Thompson doesn't get another contract. I'm not sure if they're aware of that or not.
Why is that, we'll pass it on. Con?
Oh, my 12-year-old daughter loves him. Absolutely lovely.
I don't think she'd be Robinson Crusoe amongst the kids in Melbourne Victory colours these days.
Sums up the feelings of a lot of fans, I would have thought. And you've got one about Georgievski, Con?
Yeah, I was just... Well, Georgievski's one. With the... You know, there's Galloway and a few others in the wings. And to make a bit of room, I was actually thinking maybe they won't re-sign Georgievski because they've got a few back there. But also, how is this impacting with the Fab Four and Archie on the bench on Connor Payne and the boot, because they're not getting a lot of game time?
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting one. Georgievski, look, I agree with you. I love him. I think he's a fantastic person, a fantastic player, brings a lot to the table. But if I had to put my nads on the table, I would say that he might be one of the ones that can... Am I allowed to say nads?
Can you leave your nads off the table for
me? It's like we're bringing back off, the nude, mate, from the World Cup. I would say that he could be the one that gets squeezed out because of the salary cap restraints, Georgievski, knowing that you've got Scott Galloway, Jason Guerrier, two very capable fullbacks. And then in terms of, yeah, Naboo, Connor Payne, Naboo's out of contract, that'll be an interesting one as well, but Connor Payne obviously needs game time and has re-signed for another 2 years, so we'll be hoping for his sake that he gets to see a lot more game time the next couple of years. So if and when Thompson moves on, you've got Connor Payne waiting in the wings.
Con, stay on the line. $100 Concave boot voucher coming your way. The official bird of Geelong Cats. Visit concave.com for more details. I've got to get to a break. We're squeezing nads on the table here at the moment. That's the sentence, effectively, you just said, Matty Winley from the Herald Sun. Nads are on the table, and they were being squeezed.
I'll do it again after the break and predict a result.
Birthday boy Matty Winley's got to go shortly, but he's going to give us a scoreline. He said 3-2 in the paper at the start of the week. I reckon that's changed.
It's going to be 4-3 now.
4-3?
Yeah, more goals.
Game on. Donkey Kong.
So Sydney's just got to watch out for Victory's counter-attacks. That's where they kill them. That's where they killed Melbourne City last week. And Victory, you've got to watch out for Mark Yanko and Alex Brosk. They're the two keys. But Victory 4-3, it's going to be an epic.
Victory 4-3. That sounds like a hell of a Hyundai A-League Grand Final. Sunday, 4 p.m, Melbourne Victory hosting Sydney FC at Amy Park. Thank you, Matty. Thanks for coming on your birthday, mate.
Anytime, Half. Thank you very much.
You're good, man. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to reading all about it.